You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you a marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roll.
All right, we're back. Hey, Mike, are you on? I don't know, Mike.
Yes.
Mike. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, great. There we go. All right.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, yeah. That's my fault. Operator error, guys. First day with my new brain. Here we are back, I was thinking about Johnny Horton. I love that song. That's one of the hardest ones for me to interrupt, I promise you. Stephen? What do you think about what we've talked about in the first hour? And then let's give a plug and a shout out to our old buddies up there in Traveler's Rest where you were this morning, and talk a little bit about that event on April the 1st.
Okay. So April the 1st, there's going to be a number of authors signing their books there at the Dixie Republic and Traveler's Rest. And I'll be broadcasting Thought Crime Live from there, just like I did today at 10 Central. And then you're going to do your show there from 4 to 6 that afternoon. And then James Edwards is going to broadcast his political cesspool that evening for 3 hours. There may be others, too, that get to come by there. And it's a great place to meet people that are, you know, awake and smarter than the average bear. Let's put it that way. I meet a lot of very intelligent people there who know what the score is and are a lot, you know, some of them know a lot more history than myself. You, for instance, that's where I first met you, sir. I mean, I went up there to hear you July last year, and then we've had one event since then that was terrific in October. And this one, I think this one will probably be just as big as the one in July. I was up there today. I saw Johnny Reb and Paul and Lynn, and he said it was going to be big. I didn't get all the details of who exactly was going to be signing which book and stuff, but it sounds like a great day. I always have a terrific time up there.
Well, it will be great to see our old buddy James Edwards in Political Cesspool, and of course he couldn't make the one in October, and we missed him a lot. But DW made it, Jim Ram made it, both. I know DW is going to be there, good Lord willing, because we already have our reservations, and also, you know, Scorpio may be there as well.
Yes. And Mike Sledge, thank you for mentioning that. I forgot to mention that, too, that I believe that they're going to be there as well. I haven't confirmed with Frederick Blackburn, but he was there last fall, too. It was terrific. You know, I felt like I'd come home for Christmas. it was a good time.
Well, Blackbird 9 said that he was going to do everything in his power to be there as well. He sent me a message on Skype yesterday telling me that. And so, yeah, it's... it's going to be just absolutely fantastic. And I tell you what, folks, if you have not been there and you live close enough to be there, please make an effort. You know, even Cal Robbins said he's going to try to make an effort to be there. Scorpio's going to try to make an effort to be there. This one could be just absolutely huge. And I'm really looking forward to this, because in what other venue can you find so many family members?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the ADL probably will send out a posse, just an emergency response team or something, because we'll be speaking freely. Yeah, committing thought crimes and telling the truth there. That's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a good time. I always enjoy myself when I attend an event there. And it's right there. If you've never been to upstate South Carolina, there's a beautiful view of the mountains going up Highway 25, a little bit north of there, too. That's just a really nice drive going right up into North Carolina. If you've never made that, if you like the mountains, or that's a really nice little trip to take, too.
Well, I'm sure the Southern Marxist Poverty Center will probably send some people up there.
Yeah.
I know when we were working on land issues in Colorado back in 2010, 11, 12, trying to stop the BLM and the Forest Service from closing down forest access, we had a pretty good get together. We had a sheriff that was standing up for the rights of the people, and suddenly we had the Southern Marxist Poverty Center all over the place. I mean, if you know that you're over the target when you start getting that kind of flack.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that they start to do. They've done it over and over again. South Africa and the Cultural Revolution in China, a couple of different instances where they started out tearing down monuments and ripping names down. And it just, you know, history may not repeat, but it rhymes, I've heard. And the empire that's in charge here now, the one that stole the 2020 election and many others, you know, I don't have any faith in elections or governments at all anymore, but it's obvious to anyone with a brain and eyeballs that there's no way that more people voted for Joe Biden than Trump at that 2020 election. Now, whatever you may think about either one of them, and I have little regard for either man, but there's no doubt that Biden got no support. He couldn't get, you know, he had to hire a crowd. It was as bad, even worse than Hillary having to hire her crowds back in 2016. So that is such in your face fraud that to me, it seems like now is the same situation that the Soviet Union was in circa about 1989, 1990, right about the same time, about the time that the Berlin Wall, quote unquote, fell. You know, and I've heard a lot of things about that, too. I'd like to ask you your opinion about that subject, too, sir. What do you think about that perestroika deception and what Galitzin wrote? I've read most of Galitzin's first book, The Perestroika Deception and all. But do you think that was a false stand down of communism when the Soviet Union, and I'm not going to say collapsed, you know, dissolved or disbanded?
Well, the Soviet Union, you know, and one could pray that when this thing falls apart, it will be as peaceful as when the Soviet Union fell apart. We can hope that would happen because, relatively speaking, it was quite peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't violent like the original Bolshevik Revolution. Now, there's one thing we have to know, and that is in any PSYOP that's functioning, you have to give the people certain things from time to time that they think they've won and that they actually have a chance, because if you didn't, you'd lose them all. You know, you can't keep throwing out your hook with no worm on it. So every once in a while, they have to throw out some bait to keep the people in the pond. And, you know, they give us these false victories, which really amount to nothing. But, well, I see we've got a caller. Steven, you ready for a caller?
Sure, that's fine. Love to talk.
All right. We've got Francis from North Kakalaki. Francis, how you doing, sir?
I'm not doing too bad, thank you.
Uh-oh, I messed up. It's a lady.
You think?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, for one thing, hello, fellas, to start with.
Howdy.
Yeah, tell me about it. Two subtly quick points that may not be so subtly quick. You realize that I'm admiring your designer tinfoil hat that you think that it was a missile and not a plane that hit the Pentagon, darling.
Well, obviously it couldn't have been a plane.
I know.
Obviously it could have been a plane, Francis.
I know.
You know,
I was pulling your leg.
Well, that's okay. You can pull it all you want.
I heard it was Underdog.
I'll keep that in mind. No, I'd have to agree that it was not a plane, even though there are some sides that say, yes, it was, because the whole thing just vaporized upon impact. I'm thinking, yeah, right. You're going to have wings that vaporize, not to mention the tail and all that vaporized. Despite the aspect that there is, yes, I realize I'm rehashing a situation that happened two decades ago or whatever, and I still continually will because it was crazy enough as is, or insanity, but you don't have that type of a plane vaporized into nothing. You have just scraps of metalwork and who knows what strewn across the ground. It's very obvious that it was a missile of some sort that imploded, especially on that particular section of the Pentagon, which, ironically, so many trillions of dollars disappeared into a black hole. Yeah, it was a black hole, all right. It was a black hole that the missile had imploded, so go figure. But it's funny how the emphasis was more of a more intention on the World Trade Center than on the Pentagon, because the only thing you learned about the Pentagon was much later, and you didn't see anything flying except for what's on the camera recording and so forth, which is questionable for that matter. At least from what I saw of one of the recording, they have several seconds of footage missing out of the impact. And so that told me right there that something was wrong. So it was not to be viewed, except for a fireball, and that was about it, especially for a highly secure site like the Pentagon. Now, with the World Trade Center, I have my reservations about that because there was no, to me, I'm a very illogical person, and yet it was not logical to me as to how those buildings, the World Trade Center, collapsed as they did, as far up in height as they so-called planes, some people tend to say, impacted the World Trade Center, which actually I'm glad I actually back in the 80s actually took a tour of the World Trade Center when it was still intact, at least one of the towers. And so, which is quite fascinating, really. I mean, those things were built like I would say a brick, you know, what house, but go figure. I mean, they were, I can only imagine what would have to take, and it wasn't a plane that did it to start
with. Well, Francis, stop yes. And think about World Trade Center building number 7, no plane hit it at all.
I was getting to that. They had that ready to pull, explosive-wise or whatever, for whatever purpose it was, because it had obviously sensitive information or whatever the case might be. And so maybe the World Trade Center was another cover for the World Trade Center 7, Building 7, because it was pulled, and it was interesting how it collapsed. I thought it was fascinating. I was like, what the heck? But the thing is that there was not a lot of attention or notifying the public of what was going on. It was almost like, okay, you know, it was like a desensitizing mind control event, for that matter. So,
well, don't forget,
right. Very much so, Francis.
Yeah, let's not forget that the BBC announced 23 minutes before it collapsed that World Trade Center Building Number 7 had collapsed.
I know. That's why I never really, I kind of watch mainstream media, as it were, but I watch it with a fine-tuned comb, because they're mostly primarily actors that are reading off a script or teleprompter that they have in front of them. They're not really journalists. I mean, that's all there is to it. Actual news media went out back in the 70s, if not earlier, for that matter.
60s. So,
yeah, I was going to say earlier too. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
let's not forget what the CIA director said in 1982. We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false.
Yes,
and he said that at the first cabinet meeting under Ronald Reagan.
Well, you know, I don't put anything past any of them, especially when it comes to political office and alphabet soup groups, for that matter. So I really don't. I mean, I've seen too much in the decades I've been alive, and there's been a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of deception, and you name it, it's been propagated every which way but loose. So there's been a lot of mind control going on, and mental, not to mention the mental condition prior to the mind control. So,
well,
I'm
Francis, if you don't mind, let me take you back to our subject for the day. What is the difference in your mind between a Declaration of Independence and a Declaration of Secession?
That sounds like a fine line.
Well, is there a difference?
Subtly, there is. It's in terminology.
Okay, explain that to me, Lucy.
Well, let's see. Secession. Secession means that you are basically declaring oneself or a state or a town separate from a major body, organization, or whatever you want to call it. Hence the reason why there were so many countries over in Europe and all that, especially with Russia and so forth, it's unbelievable. Whereas independence is supposed to be that of the people declaring themselves as a free people from, you name it, anything of a negative nature. But the problem with that is that the aspect of, like the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, as far as Declaration of Independence is concerned, as I come to learn recently, has to do more of a corporate nature than actually the everyday common person as a result. So there's been, I mean, it's not like every day I'm learning something different I did not know before, but often wondered, because quite frankly, if it really was for the people and by the people, we wouldn't be having this fiasco of the Patriot Act. We wouldn't have this fiasco of, you name it, that was instituted back in the 80s and 90s before the 2000-year cycle began of the millennia and so forth. Posse Comitatus was suspended, among other things. And so just for an example, a lot of this was done prior to Desert Storm and the warring into another country over in the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, you name it, ad nauseum. It's hysterical. Much as I did not want to observe what was going on, I basically found myself having to, out of curiosity, let alone necessity, because there were so many things that were being done that basically affected everybody here at home. And so, I mean, I can go on and on ad nauseum. So, but, by the way.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as far as the get-together goes in April, I think it might be better to choose a different day for that, because you realize April 1st is also called April Fool's Day.
Well, it's not in our control. Yeah. You know, it's put up by other people, so it's not ours. It's by others, but it's a great send off. It's a great beginning for Confederate History Month.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Oh, thanks for reminding me about something. You know how people talk about, well, oh, this is not politically correct, and this is this or this is that, and various monuments are being ripped apart or torn down or whatever have you. I have this sentiment for folks to actually do that. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Because if you do not know what your history was that you came from, you'll never know how your future is going to turn out ahead of you, because, quite frankly, you have not paid attention to what your ancestors, your elders, have been through and survived. If you think you know everything there is in the world, then guess what? There's the bags. There's the door. See if you can make it on your own. And believe
me. Francis, you brought up something that I would love to address here, and that is of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the reason I like to do that is because let's look at Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Then let's look at what H.L. Mencken had to say about that, which was spot on. He said, wait a minute, we got some music coming.
Whoops.
We'll be back on the flip side.
Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
There, buddy. Freebird. If I leave here tomorrow. Well, anyway, let's get back to that Gettysburg Address here, because I think this is very relevant, especially considering the subject we had to begin the program today. And here's what Mencken had to say, and he was spot on in my opinion. He said the Gettysburg speech is at once the shortest and most famous oration in American history. Nothing else precisely like it is to be found in the whole range of oratory. Lincoln himself never even remotely approached it. It is genuinely stupendous. But let us not forget that it is oratory, not logic. Beauty, not sense. Think of the argument in it. Put it into the cold words of every day. The doctrine is simply this, that the Union soldiers who died at Gettysburg sacrificed their lives to the cause of self-determination. That government of the people, by the people, for the people should not perish from the earth. It is difficult to imagine anything more untrue. The Union soldiers in that battle actually fought against self-determination. It was the Confederates who fought for the right of their people to govern themselves. What was the practical effect of the Battle of Gettysburg? What else than the destruction of the sovereignty of the states? For example, of the people of the states. The Confederates went into the battle an absolutely free people. They came out with their freedom subject to the supervision and vote of the rest of the country, and for nearly 20 years, that vote was so effective that they enjoyed scarcely any freedom at all. Unquote. Your comments there, Stephen?
It reminds me of war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Just calling something the opposite of what it is. That this war was fought so that we could crush these independent sovereign states and bring them under our heel. It's the opposite world. I mean, and the same thing happens today. It's for your safety. The TSA is there to fill up your grandmother and your toddler for your safety. You know, I'm sorry, Mike. Sometimes it gets really, really gets me angry. You know, I have to just kind of laugh at it or I'll cry.
Well, I get that way myself from time to time because the thing that bothers me more than anything else is to look at a society that is so darn indoctrinated, so absolutely, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. Ignorant means you don't know something. But when you have been provided documented truth and you still reject it, then you become stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ron White said, you can't fix stupid.
And Yuri Bezmenov talked about that, too, how people would become so indoctrinated that you could point out to them the opposite of what they believe. And they would defend the state to the death, knowing that they were starving them to death and enslaving them. He talked about that in his presentation about how, I forgot, bringing down a country, you know, it had to do with subversion, and then they would bring it to the moment of crisis, and they brought the Western world to that moment of crisis repeatedly, and then the process of normalization takes place over and over again. Instead of it just being one capitulation of a country the way that the KGB or the Soviet Union would do for Eastern Europe or whatever, wherever that they were trying to subjugate that way. This has been the whole Western world that they've been doing this to, but they do it repeatedly instead of all at once. And we're like a snowball rolling downhill right now. It's getting worse.
Well, in my, you know, people ask me, what's your solution? You know, you tell me everything that's wrong with this country. What's your solution? Well, my solution is for people to have the courage to accept the truth. Because until we get a substantial number of people in this country with the courage, the absolute courage to accept the truth, for people to look at things like what we just talked about as the subject, what's the difference between the people of the South in 1861 and the people of the colonies in 1775. What's the difference? There technically is no difference except for emotional claptrap.
Mm-hmm. And divide and conquer, the dialectic at work, playing us off against one another to keep us from looking inward or towards each other to overcome them. That's the same old trap. It's very frustrating. I agree. There was something else along those lines that I was thinking too about the way that this has been played. It's just, it keeps accelerating too. And there's always got to be two sides to choose from. You know, you can never choose yourself. You know, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for yourself. Without your country, without your bank, without the oppressive government giving you permission to live and breathe and grow your food or whatever it is, you know, that we need to reclaim our own, and I don't want to use the word sovereignty because of the way that the quote-unquote U.S. government guaranteed the sovereignty of the Indian nations. They would love to guarantee our sovereignty in the same way, and pretty much have, I think. I think that's core to some of the things that get explained with this whole thing when people try to divorce themselves from the system. Sorry, I hear the music, guys.
All right, buddy.
They're coming down the road, and the fiery flash of 20 pounds.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.thecurepodcast.org. Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S. Secret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Stay strong. And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN in defense of the Republic.
I sang Dixie as he died. People just walked on by as I cried. The bottle had run to
White. Rebel cry. A song of actual experience. And if you've ever listened to that song, it actually went number one back when. And, of course, now you couldn't have any song that says Dixie because the people would go, just crazy over that. So are you familiar with that story, Stephen?
No, sir. I don't think I am.
Well, his brother came to visit him in Bakersfield, and they were out one night tour into bars, I guess, and they came out, and as the story goes, there was a guy there who was, probably a heart attack or maybe even dying of alcohol poisoning or whatever it was, and he saw Dwight Yoakam, and he asked him, "Would you sing Dixie for me?"
Oh, wow.
So then he wrote the song. He hasn't talked very much about the incident. I think it troubled him quite a bit, but he wrote the song and it went to be number one. So one of my favorites.
Yeah, I always liked his music. I remember Dixie from the 70s at every Black Oak, Arkansas concert. I saw them many times back in the day, and they always had Dixie in the set. That's one of my favorite tunes, yes.
Well, looks like we got James from Vancouver on. James, how you doing today, my friend?
Yeah, doing real good. The difference between the independence and succession is absolutely no difference at all. thank you for playing Johnny Horton. And that World Trade Center, what happened there, I believe, was steel in those towers was sublimated. That is, the steel was turned from a solid to a gas without going through the liquid stage, and hence you saw all that ash falling from the sides, which you normally wouldn't see in a controlled demolition. And they did that with high-frequency electromagnetic fields on the towers. So this creates a vacuum for the electrons in the steel to run away. Once all those electrons in the steel run away, all at the same time, then then the lattice of the steel will just simply crumble.
Well, James, do you think they did the same thing at Oklahoma City?
I think Oklahoma City was different. What I have heard is that the blast went off improperly, in that the charges, some of the charges in the back didn't go off, where the charges in the front did go off, and there's no way. I was talking to structural engineers in Hong Kong around the time it happened, and we all agree there's no way a truck parked in the front street the way it was would take down that much of a building. It would rip the windows out, obviously, and you'd have shrapnel would scar the front of the building, but in order for a building to come down like that, you got to put the charges where the weight is supported.
James, are you familiar with General Benjamin Parton?
No, sir, I'm not. Go ahead.
Well, General Parton spelled his last name P-A-R-T-I-N for you people who want to look it up. But General Parton was the foremost bomb damage assessment expert in the U.S. Air Force. And he was just, if I remember correctly, he had two or three doctorates. I mean, he was just brilliant on that subject. Well, he happened to be in Kansas City that day. I've actually heard him talk about this in person. He happened to be in Kansas City, and he went, when he heard about it, he talked to someone and said, what does the seismograph show? And he said the seismograph showed three separate explosions. But he, in his program, he went into great detail about how much, how many pounds per square inch it took to turn concrete to dust in the explosion. And he said, absolutely, it couldn't have been the truck. That could not have caused that kind of damage. And he pointed out something with pictures when I saw him give a program in Tucson back in the, I can't even remember what year it was now. But he may still be on YouTube with some of this. But General Parton said that the crazy thing about it was that the truck was an omnidirectional. It was not a directed charge. So it would have equal force going in all directions. The crazy thing about it was there were trees right across the street from the truck that weren't even damaged.
Right. I think the truck is a decoy. Another thing I could add is ammonium nitrate won't give you the muzzle velocity that is necessary to break steel and reinforce concrete like that. Ammonium nitrate, what is used a lot for is cracking rocks, and they call it mud packing. So you pack the ammonium nitrate against the rocks, and then you put mud on top of that, and that gives you some backscatter, you see, but that'll only crack the rocks. If you use higher velocity dynamite, like 70% nitro, then you've got a bunch of high-powered rifles going on. You can't even get close to that, see? So ammonium nitrate is useless unless you it's in a pressured situation. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely. That is just right spot on there, James. And I just went to try to see if any of his posts of General Parton are still available on YouTube, and I cannot find one.
Right. Well, so, no, you see, I was just, my last point was going to be it's the damn media that's the enemy here, and it's been controlled, as you know, by the Central Intelligence Agency for more than a half a century, you see. This is, you know.
Well, here's the thing, you know, when I got into this studying this quite a bit, people today are pretty unfamiliar with the fact of how the media was manipulated during the ratification of the Constitution.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
you want to talk,
you want to talk
about fake news back then, just look at the fact that several newspapers came out and said that Patrick Henry had switched his allegiance and he was now supporting the Constitution, which was a blatant lie.
Right.
But
yeah,
it worked.
So you're absolutely more right than I am in that department because, it's just, this is how they do it, right? But,
well, mind manipulation, psyops, that's something I'm somewhat familiar with is the creation of a psyop. But, James, just a question. You answered the question.
Yes.
Were the, was there any difference in the colonists declaring their independence from Britain and the southern states declaring their independence from the federal government?
Nope, no difference at all.
Well, all right. Stephen.
I have to agree with you there. Yeah, I agree. I couldn't find any difference either just in the wording or the semantics perhaps with it. I mean, we did. If there was any difference, it was that the South seceded voluntarily from a union that they had voluntarily joined, whereas perhaps with the Declaration of Independence, the people were supposedly standing against some, something that they didn't necessarily freely join the way that the Constitution formed the Union. Maybe there's some subtle difference there, but I still can't see any moral difference between, you know, the oppression and the claim of self-determination and sovereignty. And the irony of that Gettysburg Address, after they had completely crushed, you know, the self-determination of the South, claiming that, oh, we have preserved it here on this continent for henceforth. It's just double that boggles my mind. I had never looked at the Gettysburg Address quite that way before, Mike. But from now on, every time I hear 67 years ago, I'm going to think freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and Israel is our greatest ally. Just put it in that same category. And one thing I wanted to say that I had heard, and I'm not sure if my information is correct, but that Ryder truck at Oklahoma City was too big to fit into the basement parking lot, and that is where it had been intended to go, and that was why it was parked up there. But then they said, well, the nursery was supposed to be up there, and I watched A Noble Lie about Oklahoma City. Was a pretty good production that gave us a lot of information about that, but I'm not real clear on what exactly the facts are with that. I had read that they wired the building with big blocks of gray looking C4, and that they'd even the West German person, the engineer that was wiring it, was identified in that documentary. But or am I wrong there, sir? Can you set
me
straight?
No, you're not wrong at all. I was trying to think of the German that you were talking about, the German agent that was there. And, something else, Stephen, kind of jumping track here a little bit, but have you been able to listen to any one of my two podcasts on the execution of Abraham Lincoln?
Yes, a half of the first one I have so far, and about a quarter of the second one. As I was uploading some things the last couple of days, I was listening in the background, but I wasn't going. I didn't make it all the way through them as I was jumping around to try to put stuff up on the app. But yes, sir, I did listen to some of that.
Well, I thought it would be simple. I thought I could do all of that in one podcast, and now I've got two done, and I'm not even sure I'm halfway through.
It's a complicated subject. I was not aware of a lot of the implications of people in the federal government, how it was as much an assassination as the Kennedy one. I mean, literally, you know, it seems to me that there's a reason for comparison there from what you've pointed out.
Oh, there's a bunch of a bunch of things that just, you know, for both of them, especially when you look at all of the people who mysteriously ended up dead.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead. Elaborate, because I hadn't heard the whole thing, but it was fascinating.
Well, there were people ended up in the insane asylum. There were people who died within 2 years of the event. I mean, there's so many things that I'm coming back on here. But I just noticed that we have the melodious, pulchritudinous tones of Miss Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you fellas doing? Yeah, what about, what were you talking about just then? I was calling in when you started talking about it. What event was that one?
I was talking about the podcast that I'm doing on the execution of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did find General Ben Barton speaks about Oklahoma City and Waco on YouTube, and it's under Kenny's Sideshow, but it's in the Rebel Madman Radio .chatango.com.
Oh, and, thank you, girl.
You know, some notes on other things you guys are talking about, and like when you're talking about the one percenters, and you're the only one I ever hear talk about the deal in Waco, where, you know, they just have it as one of the ideas of the story, so it was the police that did all the killing. So that is there, out there, so. Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't think there's any doubt about that in any way, shape, form, or fashion, that it was the police, because they had already set up for this. I mean, you know, when you have, I think of, seven or nine people who died there, and five of them died from bullet wounds to the head coming from above,
mm-hmm.
That wasn't a shootout in the parking lot.
No, that was execution. Yes, I agree completely, sir. Yes.
Fish in a barrel, yeah.
Yeah, and it, you know, and then I think the tragedy is to look at that today, and of the 181 people arrested back then, and what was that, 2014? Almost 10 years now, and not one person.
Yeah.
Not one person's ever been convicted.
Yeah. Well,
not one.
We got so many of those kind of things going on. I mean, this country's famous for it. For the amount of the population and the amount of the prisoners, that ought to tell the whole world what's going on.
Well, look at the people they destroyed with that, Murr. Look at, you know, you arrest 181 people, you seize their motorcycles, and then the warrant for each one of those people was the exact same warrant. There was no difference in the warrants. The warrants were all signed by the DA, you know, who has since lost his job and gotten himself into a lot of trouble with the other corruption. But the point of it was, he signed all of this, put these people under $1 million bond. Do you have any idea how many people's lives were destroyed with that?
Yeah. Yeah, making some money off it, though, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, for sure. Well, Murr, you have something else you would like to discuss, and then we'll jump to Paul in California, give him a shot.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like James was talking about, what the different frequency weapons, actually, and hardly ever do you hear about the Hutchison effect. You know, no N in there, John Hutchison from Canada.
Right.
And of course, you know, the Pentagram, DARPA, they have all that information, too. But, you know, he set up a field, and things were floating around and all, and he showed how you could bend metal with it, and as well as turn things to dust. You know,
oh, yes.
All kind of things to dust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see it happen,
very much so.
You know, right there in plain view. And there at the Murrah building, that, like you said, that was just, you know, to come from the one side. And I forget the woman's name. I was looking it up and didn't find it yet. But she witnessed what looked like gray sticks of butter being planted in the building.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that as well. And also, the thing that wasn't mentioned was the fact that the bomb squad was there.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted this to happen. And what's so horrible, I mean, besides destroying any information about the Gulf War, that's, you know, how they were being destroyed over there and poisoned, and the same thing there in Building 7. Of course, all the buildings came down there in New York, but also destroying the Herbert Walker Bush's stuff, you know, supposed to come due the next day, very next day.
Yes.
But there at the Murrah Building, they purposely destroyed the where the children were.
Yeah, they don't care.
No. And
well,
also, Murrah.
They care. They want it to happen. That's how satanic they are.
Yeah.
Yes, Stephen.
Well, also in Oklahoma City, they halted all the rescue operations because there was, quote-unquote, another bomb. And then a truck came in and whisked away all the Whitewater documents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
The Whitewater, too. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we talked
about this somewhere else, too, that while the Clinton's supposed investigation on Whitewater, O.J. Simpson trial was sucking up all the oxygen, you know? I mean, they started courtroom TV and all that. During that,
Well, let's see if we can. We're going to skip the break here. Let's, Murrah. Do you want to tell us very quickly about an upcoming show that you're excited about, and then we'll jump to Paul?
Oh, I will. I was so excited about it. I didn't even notice the date. I thought it was going to be today. It's March 25th. A very interesting person from Boston, Massachusetts, is going to be your guest.
That is correct, and we have had several long conversations here about this, and it is just really intriguing because he has that legal mind that I don't. But anyway, let's see if we can jump to Paul, and then maybe we can get to Dave before we are out of time. Paul,
thank you guys.
How you doing today, sir? Thanks, Murrah.
Real good. Enjoyed the show again, and I was thinking the other day, what triggered me to call in now was your mention of the Lincoln assassination. I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, the other day I was listening, and I once again heard a show host and a show guest that, you know, they're completely misguided on this whole thing about the Constitution. I think we could call it the Constitution delusion. And I was thinking how great it would be if RBN would, you know, have a primer, you know, maybe a couple of your shows put together or a summation of a couple of your shows, so all the hosts and some of the guests could get on board with the proper view of the Constitution. And I think that your mention of De Tocqueville I thought was interesting because I did learn about those things in junior college. I had a really good history teacher, and he brought up all those things, John Locke, De Tocqueville, et cetera. He also had us read Frederick Bastiat. Yeah, I was in good luck in that particular class. And
there are a few out there.
Yeah. And, you know, mentioning De Tocqueville, I also thought when you said that, how many people would know of him, how many people would know of Lysander Spooner? You know, that's another good perspective. Anyway, quickly, on the Lincoln assassination, have you ever heard of or read Miles Mathis' paper on that?
Say again, please.
So Miles Mathis wrote a paper on the Lincoln assassination. It's a 42-page PDF. You ever heard of it or read it?
I don't think I have, no.
Well, I would love to see. I'd even be willing to sponsor a show on it with some sort of a, shall we say, an honoraria, for you to read that paper and then talk about it on the air, either on your own or even with a guest.
Sure, call
you can find
Dan.
Yeah, it's easy to find. You to put in your Google search bar, which I just did. You can go to his site. It's harder to find if you go to his site, but just type in Miles Mathis Lincoln or Lincoln assassination, and it'll come up. And I would love to have your thoughts on that.
All right, Paul. Thank you so much. Let me try to get Dave here before we run out of time. Appreciate it, Paul. Dave, how you doing?
Good, thank you. I'm going to call in next week because I don't think we have enough time to cover maybe I wanted to talk about, but I personally believe that the United States, every single war that we've been involved in has been unjustified with the exception of the Civil War. I believe that the Civil War was actually the only war that was literally worth fighting on American soil. That's my first point. My second point is that did you know that there was another war going on across the pond at the same time as the Civil War? It was the Italian Revolution.
Yes.
And it involved the Catholic Church. And I don't know if too many people know this. I've brought this issue up before, but the Pope at the time, he was a Southern sympathizer. And he had correspondence letters between him and who was it? The president of the South, Andrew
Jefferson Davis.
Jefferson Davis, yes. You think he had Jefferson? So there's correspondence proving that Pope Pius IX was a Southern sympathizer. And there, according to what I know, I think the South was pretty Catholic at that time, and the North was Protestant. But there is a lot of connection between what was going on with Abraham Lincoln being who he was, and there was basically a secret war going on against the Catholic Church, and I'll give you an example of this. One of the people that Abraham Lincoln wanted to enlist as a front man for the Northern troops was a gentleman by the name of Giuseppe Garibaldi, who was a Freemason. And Giuseppe Garibaldi was one of the leading army nationals in the Italian Revolution, who was leading the attack against the Papal States in Italy. So this is the same person that Abraham Lincoln wanted to bring over from overseas and lead the Northern troops against the Catholic South. And I don't know if people even talk about this at all, because they constantly want to talk about states' rights, but there was a very deep there was a very deep-rooted religious war going on, and I believe it was secret.
Well, the Union churches, if you want to talk about a faith, the Union churches were transcendentalist and Unitarians. They really were no Christian churches in the North, because they had been taken over, just like the newspapers, by the Marxists who had immigrated in 1848 and afterwards into the Northern United States. I mean, how many people know that there were actual troops in the Union Army who couldn't even speak English? Oliver O. Howard, in his memoirs, talked about it, that he had troops, German troops and other troops, and none of them even spoke English. He had a heck of a time trying to command them, and he talked about that as one of the reasons he was so slow to respond at Chancellorsville.
And, Mike, weren't many of the officers refugees from the revolutions of 1848 Marxists?
Oh, yes.
Fled there and come here and then moved up to be officers in the Union Army by that time?
Oh, yes, Wiedemeyer, Sickle, there's about 14 of them that were generals. Oh, gosh, guys, there's the music. Hey, callers, really appreciate you guys calling in. And, Stephen, I can't thank you enough, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Enjoyed it very much.
Look forward to doing it again. Thank you, RBN. Take care, folks.
Like a fool's convention, do you get dumb, get dumb, get dumb, government? You know, oh, don't you love them sometimes? Uh-huh. Well, you soul-selling, no-good sons of a shoe-fitting fire starters. Ought to tell you no-good preambulatory bone frame.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.